Everybody, I'm so excited that it's Advent here at Peace and for what we have in store during this season, during this month as we approach Christmas. In particular, I want to point out our midweek services that really have me excited. This week on Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to invite back, from 2 years ago we had him, my friend Kemper Crabb and his band Mysterium, and they're going to come and perform for us this Wednesday a medieval Christmas service. So a chance to see and hear different kinds of instruments, different kinds of sounds, things that you would have had back in medieval ages. And Kemper does such an amazing job. For people that are as old as I am or so, if you remember the band Cadiman's Call, Kemper was one of the original members of Cadiman's Call back in his Christian contemporary days. And then on the 13th of December, the second midweek service, we're going to have a Hanukkah service here. And so that's going to be full-born, a chance for us to think as if we're Jews and to put our Jewishness into that sort of waiting hold. What is it like to wait and wait and wait for the Messiah to come? And then suddenly you're in the season of Advent when it looks like it might be happening. And so we're going to celebrate Hanukkah as Jewish Christians who are waiting for that Messiah. And then on the 20th, we're going to have our Lessons and Carols service on that Wednesday in the evening when it was kind of meant to be, and that should be a beautiful service as well. Today, I want to look at that promise that was given to Mary, because this is kind of a standalone Sunday in a way. So what do we do with the gospel of Christmas and sort of those first words right before, and when the angel comes to Mary and tells Mary a couple things? Number one, this miracle is going to happen upon you. You're going to conceive, give birth to a son. And then the angel says, it's very important that you do this. Name him Jesus. Because the name you give to him is really important. Make sure you name him Jesus. Now, way back in Isaiah, 700 years before, Isaiah also predicted that a virgin would conceive and give birth to the Messiah. Except in the book of Isaiah, it doesn't say to name him Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, it says, you are to name him Emmanuel. And so let's look at those two words, because there's many other names that we have for the baby. Like sometimes we call him Jesus the Christ, but Christ isn't a last name. Christ is a title. In Greek, it's the word Christ. In Hebrew, it's the word Messiah. But they both point to what Jesus is here to do, the Savior of the world. Now, some people, they try to translate in the Bible what a Messiah is. So you might see a translation that instead of saying Jesus the Messiah, they'll say like the anointed one of God. Or they'll say like the sent one, or the most holy prophet, or something like that. And I think that's all fine. You can try to define it. But in a way, Messiah is only a word that could point to Jesus. So you actually have to learn about what it is to be a Messiah. You can't really define the term. And so it's unique to Jesus. So I always prefer translations that just leave the word there and then make us unpack it for ourselves. Now today we give out baby names in kind of interesting ways. Sometimes you pick a cute name or a tough name or a hard to spell name just because you're kind of mean. And you want like all the teachers forever to say, could you spell that for me? The most popular baby names of 2017, there was a huge surprise on the guy side. The number one baby name in America in 2017 for the boy is the name Atticus. Number two is Asher. Number three is the name Jack. And number four, we're bringing back an old name, is the name Theodore. Kind of like Alvin, Simon, yeah, the chipmunks. So the name Theodore came back, which is interesting. You wouldn't think that'd be a popular name. On the girl side, the number one slot has held now for a few years. It's the name Olivia. But then the next few names are surprising. The name Cora is the second most popular baby girl name in 2017 for a girl. Amelia, number three, as in Earhart. And then the fourth name, again, an old name, Charlotte, has come back in popularity to where it's been in the top five now the last couple years. So what do Jesus' two names, the name of Isaiah and the name in Luke 1, what do his two names mean? Well, Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua, or our name Joshua. That would be Jesus' name in modern-day English. We would call him Josh, or Joshua, or baby Joshy when he's in the manger, something like that. His name in Hebrew is pronounced Yeshua, and it means God saves. So the name that's given to Mary, call your baby this, I want his name forevermore to be the God saves person, the one by which God saves the world. It makes complete sense. The second name, Emmanuel, is another beautiful term for Jesus because, as many of you probably know, it means God with us. And I love telling people, for example, what is Jesus' middle name? It's with. Because if there's anything that the Christmas gospel teaches us, is that God can be with you and I. And when we think of God as God with us, and God's middle name is with, it tells us so much about the Christian gospel that you don't always know. And I don't know today what's going on in your life. I don't know how the brokenness of creation has hurt you this week. I know what it's like to feel broken physically, emotionally, spiritually. And in those instances, sometimes we need Yeshua. We need the God who saves. We need to be reminded that even when we're at our worst, even when we've made our biggest mistakes, Jesus' very name is a name of forgiveness and salvation and eternity, even for sinners like me. And even when you pronounce the name of Jesus, like for example, if you hit your thumb with a hammer and you say Jesus Christ, and then your grandmother like pinches your ear or something, even when maybe you're emotionally saying a curse word, nevertheless, in your anger, you are pronouncing that God is a God of salvation. There's so much packed into that name Jesus. And so maybe next time you hear somebody kind of use the name of the Lord, quote unquote, in vain, maybe point out to them, you don't know what you're really saying. You're actually saying a Christian creed. Jesus is Savior. That's what you're actually saying when you say it that way. It's a name that means forgiveness and salvation and restoration and repair. Jesus is the name we give this baby because we know we need rescue. Maybe that's not what you're going through this Christmas, this season. Maybe it's not so much that you've done wrong and you need forgiveness. Maybe the issue is you feel isolated or alone. And when you feel alone, when you feel like you've been abandoned, when it feels like God is a million miles away, maybe the name Emmanuel is where you focus. The God who is with you. This is what Isaiah would speak over you. God is with you. This is an incarnational word. This is a God of flesh and bone. This is a real physical God that can eat with you, that can drink with you, that can hug you, that will cry with you, and when you cut him, he bleeds. Emmanuel is Jesus, the real person who is really here, and sometimes when it feels like God is a million miles away, I think we need to focus there. When we feel isolated and alone, focus that this is the Almighty God who once was in a manger with a little head as delicate as an egg. And this creator of the universe would be willing to do that because he wants to be close with me. When you confess Emmanuel, you believe in a God who is here. This is the God who came down to be with us. And I like to tell people all the time, the best theology we have in the church is in our Christmas carols. Our Christmas carols contain the best theology that we can offer. This is a God, we say in our carols, who saw our despair, who experienced our shame, who felt our brokenness, who knows that there's no way out. And yet we have a God that even though we can't get out, who comes and gives us a free way out. Let me show you just a couple carols to show you an example. You know this one. At my church when I was growing up, if you didn't sing this on Christmas Eve or at least Christmas Day, the pastor was probably getting defrocked and thrown out without his man dress. I mean, this joy to the world is Christmas. Amen? It is. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Here's the question it's asking. How much room is in your heart this year? Have you prepared your heart for God coming? The carol just asks a very simple question. Are you preparing room? Because if you're not preparing room and God wants to get in there, maybe you got to declutter a little bit. This is deep. This is like deep soul stuff that's going on here. But look at the theology. And it even says in here, when the Lord does come, maybe you didn't prepare room, but you know what has? Heaven and earth have. Heaven and nature, they're singing out. Does that mean the animals will sing out too? I don't know. But heaven and nature realize what's going on. Is your heart prepared? It's a good question. Look at verse 3. This is where the theology gets really rich. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. People ask all the time, I don't know what God's will is. How can I know God's will? How do I know God's will for my life, the purpose God wants for me? What does God want? One of the answers is found in this song. One of the answers that God wants to do is no more let sin and sorrow grow. In me, don't let me be a part of letting that grow. Or if there's thorns infesting the ground, like in my family, in my home, in my workspace, can I pick some of those thorns up so people don't keep sticking themselves? Christmas is about joining God and driving that stuff back so that sin doesn't have its ugly head all over us. And it's far as the curse is found, wherever the curse is. Could be in prison, could be in a bar, could be in an evil dictator. Absolutely, but the problem isn't just them. It's also me. It's at the bottom of my shoes, the stuff I've stepped in. It's the things that you find at the back of my closet that I haven't cleaned up. It's the stuff that's in the drawer underneath the socks. Christ is here to find the curse wherever it's found, and he's asking me to join with him and to clean this up in our lives. Here's another hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the King. This is a call to the whole world to adore what's happening in Bethlehem. To adore all of this. The King of Angels is laying here. And we're called to join the angels and to adore this child. But verse 2 is where the theology gets really rich. It says, true God of true God, light from light eternal. Lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb, son of the Father begotten, not created. Where do these words come from? That's straight up the Nicene Creed. Like, next time you go to the mall and they're playing the song, do people realize what they're listening to is the straight up Nicene Creed? Like, this is getting at the begotten stuff. Like, let's do a word test. Anybody know what begotten means? You don't even want to answer, do you? No, this is straight up great theology stuff. This is the one who's not created. This Christmas, your life has the chance to be covered in these carols. And the next time you're at the mall, I want you to pay special attention. Don't get angry that they started playing these back in October, okay? Go have a smile on your face. And when you hear them, just say, I wonder if this world around me, my culture I find myself in, if they know the words being spoken over them. And maybe just pray that prayer, that these words, which are so profound, that maybe they can take a little bit of rooted heart in people that you're around. Because the Christmas of Carol, they mean something. We're singing away the darkness. We're confessing it away. Today starts the journey to the manger. Our Old Testament passage, which I love, that was read just a little bit ago, it wouldn't be the normal passage in Advent, but I wanted to share it with you because the verse essentially says this, that God is the clay, the potter, and we are just the clay. I am the clay and you are the potter, O God. And one of the things we pray when we read a verse like that is we're saying, am I ready to be formed into how God wants to form me? And the only way to really work with clay is you have to keep the clay moist. And for the Christian, that's a metaphor from baptism. That's reminding yourself that in your baptism, you were called to be God's child. And so you can keep the clay moist by focusing on what God's done in your life. And then God's able to form you. He's able to be the potter that he wants to be. And the question is, are you willing to become that form? My prayer is that as you come to know Jesus more deeply,
that you would let God mold you that way. And my other prayer is this, that at peace, if we're going to be the church that sings, "Oh, come, let us adore him," I pray that as we sing it, that the world around us is going to look and say, you know what? That is the church. That is the church that adores him. If you agree, let's sing together our final verse of our hymn. Amen.